Leviticus 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Good morning. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and I would like to welcome you to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. It's my honor to be here today, and I would like to take just a moment and invite you to the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located just a few miles outside of Boone on Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And we have Sunday school Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for all ages. Our Sunday morning worship service is at 11 a.m. Then on second and fourth Sunday nights at 6 p.m., we have our Sunday evening service. We usually have a missionary or a visiting pastor or a preacher. Sometimes the Lord will give me a message, and I'll preach on Sunday night. And then every Wednesday night, we have our midweek prayer and Bible study. So we'd love for you to come out and be with us there in any or all of our services. But this is the Blessings of Liberty. And you know, Blessings of Liberty is a phrase that's lifted from the preamble to the United States Constitution. It says in part, talking about in order to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And that word posterity, it refers to our children. George Washington referred to our children as the unborn millions yet to come. And I'm glad to have some of my posterity here in the studio this morning. My son Noah, he's producing and over there, and I'd like to say good morning to him. How are you today, Noah?
I'm doing good. It's good to be here this morning. We want to say how much we appreciate our listeners, both those right here on AM 1450 WATA and those listening in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and it's encouraging from time to time to hear from people that listen to the radio broadcast. We have received a what I would consider more correspondence or feedback than usual over the past 5 or 6 weeks. We've been talking about the upcoming marriage amendment, and I'm going to talk about that once again today. The word Constitution, I read that just a minute ago, talking about the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Do ordain and establish this Constitution. Do you know the word Constitution? It literally means to set a firm thing strongly in place. To set a firm thing strongly in place. It is linked to our words statute and statue, such as a statue that you might see in a city somewhere. And that's on maybe a marble pedestal. That is something that is set firmly in place. You're not going to move that to sweep under it once or twice a year. It's there to stay put. And so that's a good word, the word Constitution. And where our word statute or statutes and a statue comes from. And it's interesting to me that that is one of the phrases that is actually used to describe the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 26 and verse number 5, it says, "Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." And 132 times in the Bible, we find that word statutes, and it refers to the Word of God. Now, next Tuesday, May the 8th, North Carolinians will vote to amend our state constitution, and it is no light thing to amend our constitution. We're talking about changing something that is to be set, to be like a statue. It is a cornerstone to our society. It's a bedrock in our society. So it's not something that we want to change just every time an election rolls around. It's not something that we want to change lightly or on a whim. We need to ask ourselves when we talk about the seriousness of changing our Constitution, either adding to or taking from, whatever the case might be. This would be an amendment to our Constitution, but we need to ask ourselves, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? And so it's a very serious thing that we're talking about. And what is literally at stake here is either a vote for marriage between men and women, as, and this is how the this is how it's going to be on the ballot when you go to vote. It talks about, it says, the only domestic legal union. And so we're voting for marriage between a man and a woman as the only domestic legal union, as the law of the land, enshrined in the Constitution of the state of North Carolina. We're going to either vote for that, or by default, it would be a vote for homosexuality and sodomy to become the law of the land. And the Bible says, I found a very interesting verse the other day in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 28, in verse number 4. It says, "They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them." There's two sides to this, and really it is so simple that that's what it boils down to. Either we're going to forsake the law, and that is referring literally to the first five books of the Bible, and especially the law of Moses. And we're all familiar, I hope you're familiar, with the Ten Commandments. We are either going to forsake the law, and when we forsake the law, those who forsake the law, they praise the wicked. That means to celebrate, to rave about, to make a show about the wicked. And that word wicked means morally wrong or a bad person, if you look that up. So we're either going to be on the side that is for getting rid of the law of God, forsaking the law of God, or on the other side, but such as keep the law, contend with them. And so there's these two sides in our society today. There are those who would love to forsake the law and get rid of the law of God, and there are those who would like to keep the law and contend for the law. Now, I'm not going to do this today on the radio broadcast, but I would like to say that I preached a message entitled "The Law and Society," and it's too lengthy to share on the radio broadcast. But the law and society, you could find it at our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. And I just will mention a thing or two about that. The law is good for society. It makes for a happy society and a harmonious society and a healthy society. And God gave the Ten Commandments so that the children of Israel would have a law to live by. And when you do away with the law, you're making a recipe for a hellish society and a society that's not safe for anybody. So just to make a point there, law is good. Law is good. The Ten Commandments are good for society. It makes for a happy society, a healthy society, a harmonious society. But I'm not going to preach that message again this morning. But those who are against this amendment say, well, we don't need to change the Constitution because we already have a law. And it is true that we do already have a law. It's been in place since 1996 in North Carolina. We have a law that forbids same-sex union as marriage, or being recognized as marriage, between men and men and women and women. So we do have a law, but they say, well, we don't need to change the Constitution because we already have a law. But what they don't go ahead and talk about further is that they do not agree with the law. That's why they're opposed to this amendment. They don't agree with the law, but they would like to change the law, and they realize that changing the law would be easier to do than changing the Constitution. See, it's already happened in other states that they have changed their law. And the people, for example, in Massachusetts or in New York State, they went to bed one day and marriage was between a man and a woman, and that's the way it was, and that's the way it had always been. And they wake up the next day and the law of the land had been overturned. It had been changed by legislature. And their whole way of life was changed. They had no say-so at all in the matter. There is already a lawsuit making its way through the court system in North Carolina. It was began last December of 2011. And what they do, and this has been done in other states, they'll keep going through the court system until they find a judge who will overturn the law. So it can be done. It has been done in the United States of America. So the opponents say, we don't need to change the Constitution. It's already a law. What they don't go on and tell you is that what they hope is that it will not pass, that it will not become a part of the state constitution, and so the law will be easier to turn over and get rid of than it would to come and go back all the way through the process again to change the Constitution. It's going to be harder to change the Constitution, and this is a prime opportunity to do something right and to do something good. You know, a lot of times we look around, especially I'm talking about as Christian people, and we say, boy, we see all this stuff going on around us, and what can we do? Well, here's something you can do. Go and vote for the marriage amendment and take your wife and take your grandpa and take your grandma and tell them, say, Granny, I know you haven't voted in 12 years, but you know what? We need your help. And if you have to go get her and wheel her up there in a wheelchair, do what you can to get people out to vote, because I promise you the other side is doing everything that they can to get people out to vote. Somebody informed me, I seen someone in town the other day, and they were telling me about up at the early voting station at the courthouse how that the against side had been out there almost every day. And elderly people would come to vote, and they were out there trying to confuse them and persuade them otherwise. And so there's a real battle going on. I realize people feel very strongly about these things. So it is important that we put this into our Constitution. It's strengthening our Constitution and preserving marriage as has been historically observed for thousands and thousands of years. The opponents to this, they say, well, if this amendment is passed, it's going to hurt business in North Carolina. Now, that is totally false. There's no example of that being true. In fact, I believe just the opposite will take place. There have been studies done. There's Moody's Analytics, November 23rd of 2011, and in that study, 8 of the top 10 best states for business have a marriage protection amendment in their constitution. So 8 of the top 10 states that are best for business have this marriage protection amendment in their constitution. There are 30 states right now that have a marriage protection amendment. North Carolina is the only state in the South that does not have a marriage protection amendment. 8 of the top 10 states for growth have a constitutional amendment to protect marriage in their constitution. So it is false to say that if we do this, it's going to be bad for business in North Carolina. Now, some people may not realize this, but businesses are in business to make money. Did you know that? A lot of people maybe don't realize that, or maybe don't think very much about that, but businesses are in business to make money. not to support people's partners. Now, they get involved in people's lives because of who they hire. And, of course, there's benefits to being hired and all of these things, but no business goes in business just to do things like that. They're in business to make money, not to support people's partners, not to insure people's irresponsible lifestyle, not so they can insure children that are born out of wedlock and people who are shacked up together and all of their children that they have. And businesses don't go into business to do that. They have to go into business to make money. And if they don't make money, then they're not going to stay in business. They don't go into business to provide people a platform to parade their lifestyle choices. That is not why businesses. Now, the government might look at things differently, but we're talking about actual organizations that make a profit, not just sustain, and have to be sustained. So businesses go into business to make money, and they have to make money. And you know, those companies and businesses who may look to North Carolina in the future will see it as a safer, more profitable investment for their company and their business. They would see North Carolina as a true family-friendly state. They would see North Carolina with more stability. They would see North Carolina as a place of morality. There's something to that old saying, birds of a feather flock together. You'll never hear a business say that, because they're in business to make money, and so they can't come out, although they might have preferences, they can't come out and say, now we'd rather have, you know, they just can't do that. They don't want a boycott from either side, that's for sure. But those who write the checks, those who pay the bills, those who look at the bottom line, they know what they're getting into when they look at the laws in the different states and they make the decision, where are we going to locate? They're going to want to locate in a place to go that is good for business, not where they have all this extra drama and not where they have all this extra expense because of having to support all these different lifestyles. I know, as a once upon a time business owner, who I would rather hire by far would be a father, a mother, a family person. And you would find that with most business owners, that they, if they had their ruthers, and they could just come out and say it, they'd say the same thing I'm saying. Well, thank the Lord, I don't have a business, so I don't have to worry about that. But there's a lot that would agree, and I believe will agree, by their vote on May the 8th. The Bible says, what about what the Bible says? You know, we hear a lot of this and that about the Bible says, but you know, you don't hear a lot of people actually reading from the Bible. But you know what? There is a blessing of God upon righteousness and just doing what is right. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, in verse number 34, it says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin brings a people down. Righteousness builds a people up. Psalms 33 and verse number 12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed, that word blessed there means happy. Oh, how happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, I wanted to, one more time, go through this ballot. There's still a lot of confusion. There's a lot of confusion about, I've heard people talk about, well, we're against, and what they mean is they're for marriage, but they're against the homosexual lifestyle. And so there's still confusion about this. But when you go to vote, you're going to see that there is on the ballot, there's going to be a referendum, and it's going to say constitutional amendment. And under that, this is what it's going to say: constitutional amendment to provide that marriage between one man and one woman is the only domestic legal union that shall be valid or recognized in this state, and you're going to vote for or you're going to vote against. And if you are for traditional biblical marriage, you would want to be for this amendment. I have noticed that the wording there is very much like the wording in the Bible. When the Bible talks about marriage, it says one between one man and one woman is the only domestic legal union that shall be valid or recognized in this state. But you know, there's a lot of people talks about the Bible says this and the Bible says that. Well, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Jesus said in Mark chapter 10 and verse 6, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. And what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." It is not the place of man to destroy, tear down the institution of marriage, because marriage was instituted by God, not by government. And it was around before government ever even came into existence. And so when you go to vote, just read it and just do what's right. Just vote for the constitutional amendment concerning marriage. You know, in the end, we have to ask ourselves the question, is homosexuality right or is it wrong? Now, this is not an anti-gay amendment, as some have said. It's a pro-marriage amendment. That's what it's for. It doesn't have language concerning anything else. Just this is just about marriage. It's not about visitation rights. It's not about hospital visits. It's not about domestic violence matters. It's not about employee-employer relationships and all the different things that have been mentioned over the past several months. It's about marriage. It is a pro-marriage amendment to be put into our Constitution. But don't think that it doesn't make us ask the question about homosexuality. Is it right or is it wrong? Now, if it is morally right, then it's going to elevate society. It's going to make society, it's going to make the world a better place to be. Just think about it. Just look. Just take a good hard look at life and what is real in life. If it's good, then it's going to bring everything up a notch. But if it is morally wrong, if it is evil, if it is wicked, like the Bible says that it is, and reality says that it is, then it hurts everyone. It harms society. It makes the world a darker, more dangerous place to live. We are choosing between Sodom and Gomorrah as a lifestyle, as a place to live, and the promised land. Just like Abraham and Lot made a decision thousands of years ago, and Lot went one way and Abraham went another way. There's a reason why California, you know, it's been said that's the land of fruits and nuts. And I'll tell you, I'd hate to be a Bible-believing Christian and live in the state of California. They've got a lot of, well, there's where Hollywood is. But anyway, there's a reason why California and New York and Nevada and some of these states that are known for their wickedness are just about bankrupt and about to go out of business. It's either going to be God's way or the devil's way. That's what it boils down to. The Lord's way or the way of the world. Joshua, over in the Old Testament, he encouraged the children of Israel. He said before he passed away, he said in Joshua 24 and verse 15, he told them, he said, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." Do you know we have a choice? Now, for one, I'm thankful to have a choice in the matter. And so Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the God of your fathers, the God of the Amorites, and those old pagan gods that they had worshipped before that time." And then he went on down and he said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so before we choose to either build up our Constitution by voting for this constitutional amendment on marriage. It'll make it stronger. It'll make it harder in the future to change marriage from what it is to what it never, 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 ever will be. It will never be. It cannot be by definition between a man and a man or between a woman and a woman. So before we choose to either build up our Constitution and make it stronger or begin the process of tearing down society as we know it, we'd better know what is at stake and the consequences that will follow. Now, there will be consequences as a result of this vote. And let me say, the issue will never go away. The homosexual agenda has grown to the place in America where this issue will never go away. My generation is going to have to fight for what's right, and my children's generation is going to have to fight for what's right. So this is very, very important. I cannot encourage you enough to go out and vote next Tuesday for this constitutional amendment. Now, I've not said very much about the presidential or the governor or anything like that, but I would say, as I have been asked by many of our listeners, what about voting coming up for the president? That's very important as well. And I would say right now, as far as primaries are concerned, you really only have three choices. Well, you really only have two, because I'm sure Obama's already in for the Democrats. And so he's more of a Muslim than anything else, although he says that he's a Christian. So you got Obama on one side. He's Muslim, Muslim-friendly. You've got Romney. He's a Mormon. Mormons, I like them. I love them. Don't get me wrong, but a Mormon is not the same thing as a born-again Christian. It's just not. If you study into their doctrine, Romney's a Mormon. Or you've got Ron Paul, who says that he is a born-again Christian. He is for the Constitution. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. So you've got three choices there as far as the president's concerned. You've got Muslim, Mormon, or Christian, or constitutionalist, what Mr. Paul has been, not just claims to be, but I've followed him for several years. So I would just say along those lines, don't throw your vote away. There's a lot of people just going to throw their vote away. If everybody in America didn't listen to the news, didn't pay attention to the political ads and all that bunch of stuff, but just investigated for themselves, we could make a difference in this country. So I do appreciate you listening in. Now, next week, our time is quickly getting gone. Next week, I'm going to be out of town on the Tuesday, and Brother Jason Cornett is going to be filling in. Now, he's filled in before for us, for me, and so he's going to be in here on Election Day. And so I appreciate Brother Jason. He's a young preacher out of our church, and God has been using him and giving him opportunities, and he's going to be in here next week on the Blessings of Liberty. Now, Noah will be in here with him, and so we appreciate that. So pray. Pray as well. I wanted to say that. That's the most important thing. Pray. I've said that before. Pray about this. Pray for this. Pray for God's will to be done. And then go out and talk to somebody about it and make sure they're not confused on what this is all about. This is important. It's the most important thing I've ever voted on in my life. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. Thank you for listening in. Have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.